Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games, Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games, Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I'm your host, Jay Larson, and joining me is your very special friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Jay.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. They just announced the sequel to the Spider-Man PlayStation game, so what could be better right now? Nothing.
I could have the Dresden Files novels in hand.
Oh, that'd be so nice. How far are we? Isn't it? It's like 30 days, right?
Yeah, I say that that's what I want, but the reality is that it's going to release, and I'm still not going to read it on release day, probably.
I don't know.
I'm a little torn on it.
It'll take me a few days, I'm sure, but...
I've been going through and rereading the whole series, and I'm on, like, book 8 right now, and so...
you did Stormfront on Chain Attack, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. I haven't listened to that episode yet, but I'm excited to.
Yeah.
I wrote a paper in college on Stormfront.
Oh, really? How did that go?
Well, so it was for a like noir genre class because I'm an English major. Okay. And it was basically how the book did a really good job of just like cut and pasting noir tropes and then bringing in like fantasy book tropes as well. Like in Stormfront, he keeps it's almost like every chapter he uses a new magical ability, and many of them would have been useful in previous chapters. But and then, you know, in Noir, it does that whole like I have two cases, an important case and an unimportant case, and the unimportant case is going to help me solve the big case,
right?
Which like people, they still use that detective trope, right? Like Jessica Jones Netflix series used that one. It's a good one.
It's an oldie but goodie.
Yeah, but no, it was. I have low opinions of Stormfront, but I recognize it for what it is, which is the beginning of an awesome series.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we end up discussing is, you know, if that was just like the only Dresden Files book that we received, what would we think of the book? And it's kind of an interesting discussion. It's difficult to extract your view of it without divorce it from the rest of the books in the series, because, you know, it's kind of just difficult to turn off that part of your brain or whatever.
Yeah, I will say for me, it was 4 years until I read the second book. So,
and then the funny thing is that it's actually the third book when it really gets a really big jump in writing style. So yeah. Anyway, anything new or noteworthy with you to go over?
I mean, we talked a little bit about it last week, but I have been inviting some of my local players over to my house to play. You know, when my kids take naps, basically, is when I have people over. And then we've been playing at a local store that doesn't have much foot traffic. I wish some of the stores did a better job in Houston of, like, spacing things out, but it is what it is.
It's also, like, I don't know, Houston's one of the places where... You read news stories about, like, the virus continuing to grow and spread and stuff, and so it's has to be kind of interesting living there.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? I think the last, on the news today, the last 3 days, we've seen record-beating growth for, like, new cases in the state, and we're on phase three still of our four phase like reopening plan. So I think this Friday stores are allowed to open up to 75% capacity, which I'm like, no store is ever at 75% capacity, right? Let's be honest. except maybe like restaurants during peak hours.
Right, yeah.
But like, I mean, I'm sure your store is almost never at 75% capacity. So to me, yeah. I'm just like, it's a joke. We're going to have a lot more cases. It's going to keep rising in Texas. And I don't know.
The Idaho governor said that, we're moving forward with phase four of our four phase plan.
Oh, wow.
and he's like, you know, we almost didn't do it, but decided that we needed to, and it would have been a catastrophe if we didn't go to stage four. And, and I'm just kind of like, well, maybe the catastrophe is like a pandemic exploding again, or, you know, I don't know. But anyway, I did get to play a game last night. It was Hammers and Gamma Shelter, and he picked 18 points as the point level that we played, and so I had Killmonger, Shuri, Black Panther, Drax in prep for our next episode, and Spider-Man.
So, what'd you think?
Spider-Man actually did really well. Part of that might, well, I was going to say part of it might be because my opponent ignored him, but there was actually a fair number of times where, like, Rocket shot at him or whatever, and he was just like, I dodge, et cetera. So, yeah, it was a really close game. A lot of fun, and had a good time with the roster. So yeah,
nice. Yeah, I've been noticing when I play, I do focus on eliminating Spider-Man if I'm playing on like Gamma Shelters, or another place where I need to try to put one or two characters on a point. I just do not like getting thrown, and because he can remove two characters off a point, and he's so good, I love him.
Yeah,
it'll be great once he has a team to be on.
It will. Have you played any games the last little bit?
Yeah. So I had 5 games this week.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And most of them I was either playing Wakanda or Cabal with Drax and Nebula trying to fit them in. I will talk about Drax week and we'll talk about Nebula this one, but I am, the more I play Wakanda, the more I think they're one of the better lineups. And, you know, I think Wakanda is great because all four characters are very good. And Wakanda Forever is my favorite team tactic card. That's like, you know, for an affiliation. I think it's really, really good. And if you pick the right crisis cards, Wakanda Forever is basically like, you can score 3 points this turn.
Right, yeah.
So, I think it's a really great list, and Drax and Nebula fit pretty well into it, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, let's start talking about Nebula, so can you go ahead and read her card to us?
Yeah, so Nebula is a 2-pointer. I'm going to start with that because that's really important. She has 4 stamina on her healthy side and then 5 on her injured. So she's a 9 stamina, which is low, just like all the other 2 costers. She's a long move. She's size 2. Her defensive stats are 3-3-2. So she's got 3 physical, 3 energy, 2 mystic. She has a pretty cool strike with an extra power. So her strike is a range 2 power 4 strike that generates power for damage dealt, but then it has wild shock, so that's pretty cool. The additional shock is nice. She has 2 different energy attacks. The first one is Blaster Pistol. It's a range 3, strength 4, that is zero cost, and after it's done, you just gain a power. So it's a nice, you know, if you need a range 3 attack, or if you need an energy attack but you don't have power, it's a nice little attack. I compare it to Black Widow's, like, normal pistol attack. It's not good, but it's nice to have in case you need it. And then her big attack is Shock Sword Assault. So that's a range 3, dice 6 attack. It costs 3 power to use. So it says, after the attack is resolved, you place Nebula within one of the target. So a pretty cool, you know, moving ability, similar to what, like, Crossbones has. And then it has Wild Stun, so it's an easy way to lay out stun. So, you know, her 3 attacks, none of them are, like, incredibly over the top, but they're good. So I think this, the next few abilities really kind of, like, flesh out what she does. She has a superpower called Assassin that says, this character cannot contest, interact with, or hold objective tokens. So she basically cannot affect the objectives. Additionally, this character may reroll any number of its attack dice when attacking a character that is holding or contesting an objective token. So this assassin ability defines her. It allows her to reroll any attack dice as long as the opponent is holding an objective or contesting. So in most games, that's going to be most characters that you're attacking, right? So when you're looking at her math of, oh, she only gets 4 dice or 4 or 6, you're like, okay, yeah, but, and all of them can be rerolled. So that's fantastic. Her next ability is Cybernetic Enhancements, where she gets to reroll 1 dice in her defensive rolls. So instantly makes her a little bit more defensive than that 3-3-2. And then additionally, at the start of her activation, you remove 1 damage from her. So she's always healing slowly, and she can reroll 1 defense dice. And then she's immune to bleed, she's immune to poison, and she's immune to stun. Makes sense. She's an android. Android? Cyborg? She's a cyborg.
Cyborg, yeah. Probably.
Sorry. So she's got a lot of abilities that I think, you know, help her survive. The big thing is going to be, she can't score you points, and she can't stop your opponent from scoring points.
Mm-hmm.
But that rerolling dice ability can be, it can be really swingy. And so, you know, a lot of characters that have superpowers like that, you pay 2 power to gain that ability. She just gets it. So, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I've got several thoughts on her. So one of the first things, obviously, that jumps out about her is that she's a 2 threat character.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the, it seems sometimes like I maybe sing the praises that Atomic Mass has done so far a little bit too much, but I do think that it's pretty noteworthy, or job well done, cool, whatever, that even if you look at, like, the 2 cost characters we have, they are all quite different, and you can all see situations where you would take them. So, you know, between Black Widow, Okoye, Rocket, Nebula, that's just, like, this widely divergent set of characters that all seem pretty appropriately point costed at 2 points. So that's one thing that I think is pretty cool about her, or one of the things that I think with her. Another thing that I thought with her is that I've had Thanos a little bit on my mind, and I guess this plays into other aspects of her as well. But so Thanos has an ability where he can basically buff up a character and have them roll additional dice on attack. And basically any type of situation where Nebula is getting additional dice on attack is really strong.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, a lot of times that's going to be getting a reroll. And so, you know, with Thanos, if she's rolling, you know, 6 dice, 8 dice, 10 dice, and getting a reroll, that's really good on a 2-point character, right?
Yeah.
And that's one of the potential ways that I've been thinking with Thanos as well, is kind of surrounding him with cheaper characters that he just kind of buffs up really well.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially in Avengers, I don't know, but anyways, that's neither here nor there. But what about you? What are some of your additional thoughts with Nebula?
I think Nebula's assassin ability is relatively controversial.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a lot of people just say she's trash because of it. If you can't score points with her, why even bring her, basically? And I think it's exactly because, like, number one, she rerolls all her dice. She's a missile, right? She is not going to necessarily, like, be trying to get points, but that's why she's 2 points, right? That's, I feel like without Assassin making her not contest, you could argue that she might need to be a 3-cost character.
Right.
So I think this is extremely appropriate to say she's like a 3-cost character that has been knocked down because of that limitation. And, you know, she's doing a lot of offensive damage, especially if you're buffing her, like with Thanos, right? Yeah, anything that adds 2 dice to her attack is going to be incredible. I think, you know, the one thing she's missing to be broken is like a charge or a throw effect.
Right, yeah.
And then she would just be like over the top, way too good. I don't agree that there's anything wrong with her, but I do think that in certain teams, you're going to need more characters that can contest and score points. And so you're going to have to think about that. Like, if you're running a 3 or 4 character team, I don't think you want Nebula in there, because I worry she won't be able to score. But if you're playing like a Guardians of the Galaxy, or I like your idea of a cheaper Avengers team, like, she's very appropriate in there, because the Avengers are not generally super great about dealing a lot of damage. And so I really do actually think Thanos and Nebula would fit in with, let's say, Captain America, Black Panther, and has to be someone cheap, Iron Man or Black Widow, right? Like,
right.
Then you have 4 characters that are going to be scoring points and dealing with that, and Nebula is going to be torpedoing at people.
Yeah.
I also really, I think it's really funny. I was thinking about how sometimes in like a late game, you will be tempted to, like, let's say you're 3 points away from winning and you have a hammer on someone. You might be tempted, if you're ahead on points, to like run that person with the hammer away and try to win by getting like a slow attrition with that one character not dying.
Right, yeah.
And I think Nebula is a really cool character to kind of go for those characters that are holding objectives that are maybe trying to fringe out and like avoid. I think she's a really cool answer to that strategy of running away with an objective token.
Mm.
I also really like her. I've been playing a lot of Wakandan Herbs. I didn't mention that earlier, but I think she's a really good character in Wakandan Herbs, because she can just follow the character and keep, like, you're stunned, you're shocked, die. And so you could literally just put Nebula on most characters, and unless they're doing something tricky, like, Nebula can just harass the Wakandan Herb carrier. Oh wait, no, they're immune to stun. But still, I really like her in, like, anything where you need to hold on to objectives. I love her. And I think, you know, you mentioned, like, you do not heap enough praise on Atomic Mass Games, because they are killing it. And, like, Nebula is such a cool 2-point character. And I really do think that she's got a lot of really cool stuff as a glass cannon that puts her in a lot of different scenarios where I want to use her.
Yeah, I guess I'm curious on your opinion on... I don't generally put a lot of thought into this question because of the podcast, just because I've been like a completionist with the game or whatever. But, you know, there's a lot of people who aren't completionists with this game line and who, you know, make decisions based on whether or not they think they're going to want to play with the character, etc. And So do you let's say you're on the fence with purchasing it's Gamora and Nebula that come in that pack. Do you think that they're going to see very much play for the average person?
I think they will. I think let's say you get the starter box. I think the first purchases. Whoop, sorry, had some noise in my. I think first purchases are probably something like Thor and Black Panther, so you can maybe build out another affiliation and then build out Avengers. But I think Gamora and Nebula are both two options that fit really well into Avengers and Cabal right out of the starter. And I think both of them offer really nice additions without needing the Guardians leadership. I wouldn't really recommend like Rocket and Groot as an early Whoa. Purchase if you weren't collecting. And if I don't think Rocket and Groot fit in as many places as like, I think Gamora is dope in almost any faction, in almost any affiliation. And I think Nebula fits in most, and I love them. I think they're really cool.
Let's say you're making a direct comparison. do you think that you would take Rocket or Nebula more frequently?
I think I'd take Nebula more frequently. I think Rocket has too many weak spots to just. He's got very low defensive stats with cover, and Nebula is a lot more. She's gonna actually be able to dodge a lot of attacks without dying immediately. And I really do think I like how much Nebula is just so much better at hurting things.
I mean, Rocket does really good at hurting things. That's kind of why you're taking them.
Okay, without what is Rocket's initial attack? It's range 5 energy with.
Yeah, I think 5 dice.
It's 5 dice. So Nebula is 4 dice with rerolls.
Yeah.
I think that's better than 5 dice. I think Rocket's range is really nice. So yeah, maybe it depends. It'll come down to like the situation. If I'm playing a spread out map, Rocket is better, but. And then it comes down on affiliation, because I think Nebula is really good in Cabal. I really like Nebula in Wakanda. And I think Rocket is maybe not benefiting as much from Avengers. He's a good Cabal choice as well. But I think if we're talking about making purchases, Gamora and Nebula together are going to fit in a lot more lists than Rocket or and Groot combined.
Well, I guess let me... I mean, obviously, Groot has not been seeing a ton of play with a lot of people. One last gameplay question before we move on to talking about our comic book club. I guess, what do you think of Nebula within Guardians of the Galaxy? There's actually kind of a surprising number of characters that play for this affiliation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so how often are you thinking she's likely going to make it into the list?
I think Nebula is a really good choice with Guardians just because they have so many low point characters that can handle winning points. And I think that's, you know, the one disadvantage for Nebula is that she needs other people to score points in the game. So I think Nebula is a really strong Guardian addition. Especially just because I like the idea of having a bunch of twos and threes in your team to back up the fours and fives. And I think she's a really good one in Guardians. I'm probably not going to be winging it with her, but I don't think that's what she's for.
Right, yeah. Yeah. It is going to be interesting. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but right now it feels like Guardians are maybe an affiliation that people are sleeping on a little bit. There have been a lot of new toys coming into Avengers. There's been people are getting excited about the Black Order, and it feels like, you know, between all the affiliations we have right now, Guardians, it kind of feels like is the one that's kind of most overlooked. And again, I'm sure that varies quite a bit from depending on like what your local meta is like or whatever, right? What your friends are playing.
Yeah.
But it seems like that's kind of been the trend.
I think it's got two problems as an affiliation. And one of them is that winging it requires you to discard a tactics card.
Right.
It's not just that it's a high cost, it's that it's hard to judge when to best use it, and it's hard to judge what card to throw away sometimes. And I think a lot of people don't like that the affiliation, the leadership ability because of that. And yeah, then I think Crew of the Milano as their like big cool team card, it's not as like dynamically cool as some of the others, right? Like it's not a awesome movement thing that everybody can use. It's not right. Kill someone like in Cabal. It's just, you know, I think it's really good. Removing all special conditions and becoming immune to them is awesome. And I think, you know, as the game, like, it really hurts Proxima Midnight if you have Crew of the Milano.
Right.
But, I mean, I think all the characters in Guardians are good, except for the maybe inclusion of Groot in there. But even then, I still would argue that Groot is a good three-cost character. He's just, I don't want to take Rocket and Groot together all the time. Like, I think that's the problem with him.
Right. I also think that there's a lot of people who have kind of been like, oh, well, I can just take Ronan in my other faction or affiliation list or whatever, right?
Yeah, so. There's a lot of love for specific Guardians.
Right. Well, I am looking forward to getting, I guess, a little bit more play with. I'm hoping that my next game is going to be a Guardians. I'll be playing Guardians, and that'll get me a little bit more play with both the Ronan and Drax, and that should be pretty fun, hopefully.
Yeah, no, I wanna hear what you think, because I've been trying to get a lot of Guardians games, and this last week I took a break from it, because I needed some time away from the team.
Sure, yeah, I can understand that. All right, well, let's go ahead and talk about the 6 comics that we're doing this time. You want to give us the introduction?
Yeah, so we chose, so looking for a series that focuses on Nebula as a main character, our choices were a little limited because she's normally a supporting character, but I chose one where she is, you know, part of a team that's put together. So we read the Thanos comic, the beginning of it from, oh dear, was it 2016?
2016, yeah.
The 2016 Thanos comic. So we read issues 1-6. And basically what we're seeing is we're seeing two kind of divergent storylines going on. We're seeing, first of all, Thanos reclaiming his throne after you know, it was taken from him by Corvus Glaive. And we're seeing a team put together to hunt down and kill Thanos. So the team starts with Thane, who is Thanos' son, picking up the... I'm trying to remember his name. It's the champion of the universe. And then Star Fox, who is also known as Eros, who's Thanos' brother. And then Nebula. And so they basically are brought to Thane, and they learn that Thanos is sick. Something is killing him. And so they're going to use this opportunity to kill Thanos. What follows is we see Thanos kind of hunting for a cure. He goes to a planet that has like the best medicine, and they kill everybody, and he kills everybody. And then he goes and finds his father, who is like a genius medical scientist, and forces his father to try to figure out what's wrong with him. And I like how when his father finally figures it out, he calls it a god cancer, is basically what's wrong with him. And then
get wrecked, son.
Yeah, and then mentor says there's no way to cure him because he doesn't have time, and he, you know, basically just insults what a monster his son is, and I really love that scene where he's like telling Thanos, like, I wish I'd like strangled you in your crib or whatever. And Thanos just kills him. It shows how cold and awful he is. While this is all happening, we see the team come together, and they need to go and they need to save someone who's been captured by Terrax. And they go and they're doing this like heist where Star Fox distracts Terrax, and they're going into the jail cell to free him. And it turns out that Thane has actually misled them, because Thane had his powers removed by Corvus Glaive. And what he really wanted was to become the new host for the Phoenix entity. And he would use that power to kill Thanos. And what I really like about this is, like, the whole time that this has been going on, we see that Death is talking to Thane. Mm-hmm. And Death wants Thane to kill everything with the Phoenix Force. And so we see that Thane is, you know, evil, and he's being controlled by the Phoenix Force. We see that Thanos is, you know, a horrible, murderous monster, and nothing can stop him. And Thane is, you know, getting these visions of the future, and it basically it's a 6-issue story arc that sets up the next story arc, which is going to be where Thanos is maybe actually confronted. But the story ends with Thane basically teleporting Thanos away somewhere, and Thane is, you know, with the Phoenix Force, and Death is by his side talking to him.
And it seems like when he's teleported Thanos away, maybe I read this wrong, but it kind of seemed like he made Thanos basically immortal. Not immortal, but a mere mortal. I might have read that wrong, but it seemed like that was...
I think that was more referring to...
Or is it just his illness?
And there's nothing he can do. Because Thanos has never been, like, immortal. Like, Thanos dies all the time. He's one of those characters. I think he's probably, in Marvel, died more times than any other character.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back, kind of riffing off his, like, he's beloved by death, right? He can never die. He'll just come back. And so we're kind of seeing, like, this is maybe the weakest he's ever been.
Dun, dun, dun.
Exactly.
That's a little bit Nebula-centric that you didn't, I think, comment on as much, is that they're basically, Thane is doing his, you know, villainous heel turn and saying he's going to take the Phoenix Force, and the other person who had been like trying to assume the Phoenix Force for months and had been failing. And Nebula's like, well, screw this. We're not going to let you take the Phoenix Force. She shoots and kills him. And then that's kind of what allows Thane to assume the Phoenix Force, because he dies and
mm-hmm. needed death and rebirth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool. That scene where, like, she executes Thane. Yeah. He's like, no. and then the other scene that I liked was the champion of the universe is like running forward to fight some guards, and it just shows her basically ninja wall running up to him and like knocking him out really quickly. There's a couple like scenes that show what a badass she is. In the very beginning, like where they recruit Nebula, she's like stealing something from some thieves that underbid her on a job. And then she's like, oh, well, the ship's going to blow up. I better get out quickly. And she just, like, jumps out of the ship. Like, she doesn't have rocket boots. She's just jumping out to get to her ship. So there's a lot of really cool Nebula moments that I really enjoyed and showed what a badass she is. And I thought this was good, too, because she looks like she does in the Marvel movies. There's none of that, like, oh, I hate her costume. Because we will be seeing original Nebula later in when we read Infinity War for Thanos, we'll see what she looked like before.
So Thanos looked a lot like movie Thanos as well.
Mm-hmm.
Have his looks changed over time as well?
No, not really. In fact, when we read that Annihilation comic and he's wearing the like white robes, that's the only variant kind of costume I've seen him in. Except he was like a farmer once, where after he like quit trying to be evil, he just went and was a farmer, and he wore like straw clothes and stuff.
Okay.
Like, you know, kind of how he does at the end of Infinity War, right, where he's just like, I'm gonna go to my farm planet and no one will bother me. He did that. It was actually cute because he put his armor on like a scarecrow. Okay. Was that in the movie?
Yeah.
It was definitely in the comics as like a really cool scene. So,
So I know that some of the Thanos storyline or plot points are different between the movies and the comics. But how different is Nebula between the movies and comics? Like, is she still the daughter of Thanos?
So no, she's really different. So Nebula is basically her origin and like her backstory has kind of changed, because originally she was introduced as a alien villain who said, she was like, I'm Thanos' granddaughter, and she's like, that's how terrifying I am. And so she, like, you know, she fought the Avengers and she was in other cosmic comics, and some stuff happens to her in the Infinity War comics that put her and Thanos at odds. And we'll read that later. But it's later kind of gone into, like, she was never really Thanos' granddaughter. She was more a fangirl who wanted to be associated with Thanos. And so she, like, started that as a way to, like, gain notoriety. and so she's not really, like, a member of Thanos' forces, generally. She was, like, she did follow him and obey him for the first few years, but she kind of disappeared out of Marvel Comics until Guardians of the Galaxy brought her back.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, was it Guardians that brought her back, or was she an inner? No, it was Guardians. So, she wasn't like a major character in much, but, you know, she is a pretty interesting character, and they did bring her back.
Any additional background on her in general?
There's really not much about her. She became a cyborg in the comics, I think in the 80s, and then she's just floated around and kind of been unused most of the time. But like I said, I really like how she's used in the movie, and that's kind of become her main character,
sure,
like,
yeah,
styling since then.
So why did you end up picking this arc for Nebula?
So I started picking this one for a couple reasons. I liked her as a main character hunting Thanos. I feel like this one is a lot more appropriate than some of the older ones. Like, when we read Infinity War, she spends most of Infinity War being tortured. Like, it's not a comic that you want to read to learn about Nebula. There is, just recently, they started a Nebula, like, mini-series all about her, but it's not completed yet on Marvel Unlimited, so we can't, it's not a good choice for that. Mm. Basically, there weren't a lot of choices, and this one is a pretty cool one, and then if you enjoy this, like, run of Thanos, it goes on for about 20 issues, and, if you're reading, like, those free comics that Marvel's making available, the later issues where it shows Thanos in the future are free for anybody to read, so you don't need a subscription to go check it out. So I thought that was another nice tie-in.
Nice. All right, so any comments on the creative team of this arc?
I'm going to have to pull it back up, I'm sorry. Jeff Lemire is a really well-known comic artist in terms of, like, indie stuff. He writes a lot of Marvel comics, but he also does a lot of stranger, like, weird stuff. He did a personal favorite of mine. He did, for DC Comics, he did, like, this Animal Man comic that completely reinvented the character. It was super cool. But he does a lot of, like, cool indie comics mostly. So I liked that this was him doing a big Marvel comic. It was pretty cool.
Nice. All right. So who would you say were the main characters of this arc, and what did we think of them?
I think the main characters are Thanos in his storyline by himself, and no one else was a main character in that one. And then for the other side, we had Fane, Death, Nebula, Eros, and oh my gosh, why can't I remember his name? I'm going to pull it up real quick. I feel really silly that I can't remember this character's name. I have never seen that character before, though.
Is it the champion of the...
The champion of the universe?
Universe guy?
But that's not his name. That's his nickname. That's his
moniker.
Yeah, and they title, even like, make fun of him.
Yeah. Eros is the one that is Thanos' brother, who's a swift talker. Is that right?
Yeah.
I did think it was kind of funny. He just looks like a go-go boy in hot pants or whatever. Like, his costume is kind of funny.
Yeah. And his costume has not changed since he was originally created.
Yeah.
He's one of those characters that's like, it's like, why do I need to change? I look so cool. So yeah, Star Fox.
Okay, yeah.
So Thanos' brother, Star Fox, I'm really wondering if, so you know Marvel's doing the Avengers, or not the Avengers, the Eternals.
Eternals, yeah.
Sorry. And so when they do that, I'm really wondering if they're going to go into Thanos' origins, because Thanos' people are a group of Eternals that move to Titan. And so I'm curious if, like, Star Fox and Thanos and Mentor will be in the Eternals movie. But yeah, he's weird. He's like a, you know, Eros is like a, he's like a sexy, like, semi-rape guy sometimes in Marvel Comics, because he has, like, sexual powers that make people attracted to him. Why is he on the Avengers?
Listen, he's basically like Thomas in the Dresden Files, okay?
You're right. He is a lot like Thomas in the Dresden Files. He's a more disappointing brother of a cooler character.
Oh, yep. Wow. Wow. Yep.
He's the sexy one, though, so he's got that going for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you read the... Sorry, this will be our last digression, then we'll wrap it up. Have you read the short story about Thomas?
I don't think so, because I listened to that book of short stories recently, but I don't remember.
Yeah, basically he's like part of this secret society of do-gooders that he can tell no one about that he's part of, and everyone just thinks he's like this awful person, but really he's like, you know, the demon with a heart of gold.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, Thomas is a good guy, right? Like, he's no Harry Dresden. That's what I mean.
Okay. Next episode, we promise to have less Dresden Files, and we will talk more about this arc and about Nebula.
I promise nothing. I might talk about Dresden Files.
you're not wrong.
Fine, I won't.
All right. Well, Greg, have you picked out our next arc?
Yeah. We're going to be doing Drax, and the comic we're going to be reading is called Drax. Wait, no, wrong. Drax the Destroyer. It's the only Drax the Destroyer. It's from 2005, and it's issues 1-4. And we're kind of going to... This takes place before Annihilation, but it's a pretty cool little mini-series. I think it's sometimes called Drax Earthfall, but that's what we're reading.
It is pretty interesting how different Drax is in the comics versus the movies.
Oh, yeah. He's it's really funny because classic Drax was kind of just a Space Hulk ripoff. So he was stupid, and he was jokey, and he wore a big purple cape to make sure he didn't look too much like the Hulk, I guess. And new Drax is, like, you know, just a combat machine in the comics.
Yeah, yeah.
He definitely wouldn't call Ronan to tell him where he was so he could come get the shit kicked out of him.
All right. So back us on Patreon, and you can listen to our bonus episode, and you can gain early access to our podcasts. And Greg, why don't you thank our podcast supporters on Patreon?
Yeah, our Patreon supporters are just amazing space pirates who sweep in and manage to always steal my box without detonating the Death Web's trap and blowing up my ship. So thank you so much. We really appreciate you guys. And Jay forgot to mention that our Patreon supporters also get in on our sweet Discord, where we have a lot of like really just people way smarter than me at the game that we have such like really cool discussions about the stats. And I think it's just a really cool thing that's going on is our Discord. So
awesome. All right.